call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name. How should I can't see God of grace?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, from the deep of our hearts, we really cry out your name, Adonai, El Shaddai, the God that provides to our needs. And we rely only on your grace, O Lord. It's not because of what we are. It's not because of what I am that I stand here. Oh, Lord, there's so many shortcomings in us. There's so many unfinished work in us, oh, Lord, that if you want really to be righteous and use your measuring stick, oh, Lord, we are not worthy. But we are only relying on your grace. And it's by that grace that we are saved, O Lord. It's by that grace that we are calling each other brothers and sisters today, O Lord. And that grace took us from where we are in sin and trespasses, O Lord, and made us participants of your salvation, of your grace, O Lord. We thank you for that, O Heavenly Father. Take us now as we are coming, offering our bodies, offering all our beings as a living sacrifices, O Lord. Take us out of the way in this service, O Lord. Let this worship be something that come out of your throne in our hearts, O Lord, and going back over to you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this Sunday morning. You took us from our different places, O Lord, and made us to come and fellowship together in your presence. Let now you, the honorable guest in our midst, take over, take full control, O Lord. Every spirit, we submit it under your feet, O Lord. Let your children be really beneficiary of what you have provided for them today. through the worship, through the singing, through the preaching of the word, through the tithes and offerings, O Lord, through the special items, you be in control. We remember our brother Dube. Keep and protect him, O Lord. He had that bad fall yesterday, but we believe that it is under your control, and we'll see him testifying of your kindness. Bless all our brethren. We have still not come back from their trips. Keep and protect them, O Lord. Remember Brother Elson, his wife, and his their daughter. Keep and protect them. Bring them back safely, O Lord. Anyone else, O Lord, who has traveled, O Heavenly Father, we commit them into your hands. Bless us as we read your word, as we partake of this fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I think last time we introduced a new subject about redemption by grace. And I want to push a little bit more on that topic. But before we go any further, I wanted to address a few questions that has been raised from that introductory chapter, because this is a very slippery topic when you're talking about. You need really, really, really to keep the balance. Because if you don't keep the balance, someone will just come out and go and say, oh, you know, I'm saved by grace. And you really need to keep the balance there. It's an unconditional covenant. Yes, God doesn't want you to pay anything. God doesn't require anything from you to be saved. It's not something that because you did something that you are saved. Salvation is fully free gift of God. It doesn't ask anything, any input from me or for you or for your dad or from your background. It's a fully free gift of God. And it's an unconditional covenant. God doesn't save you to say, if, you know, I save you, Abraham, I called you, but if you did this, then I will not save you anymore. No, it's, you know, I have done it, and there is no condition. But it doesn't mean that when you are under that unconditional covenant, you can go and live anyhow. Amen. We need to keep that balance. Because the evidence of the covenant, that you are under the covenant, is the effectiveness of, you know, the presence of God in your life. The transformation that it produces in your life. That show, because the covenant has got, you know, entitlements to the covenant. If you are partaker of the covenant, there is entitlements to the covenant. You can't just come and say it's unconditional while you are not even partakes of the blessings of the covenant. And the first blessing of the covenant is a transformed life. Amen. It is a transformed life. That's one of the first evidence of the covenant. That's why I wanted us to read a few scriptures, just to emphasize on that before we go any further, so that you can understand what. Let's read Luke 3, 7 to 8. Luke chapter 3. The Bible says, then said he to the multitude, this is John the Baptist, of that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. Amen. And begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. You know, if you have repented And if you are really under the Abraham's covenant, don't only claim that I have Abraham as my father, but the proof that you are a child of Abraham is the fruit of repentance. It's the fruit that will be manifested in your life after you enter into that covenant. Amen. Look at himself, Abraham, how the prophet puts it. Abraham was saved by grace. He was under that unconditional covenant. But look at what the prophet says. But there's a place where a man come to a time that will change him forever. He that will come to me, I will not in no wise cast out. A man can come to God and his whole eternal destination is changed. And a man can meet God and he can never be the same anymore. You can't meet God and ever remain the same person you were. If you turn away from him, you'll be the worst person that you ever seen. If you receive him, you got eternal life. There was a time when there was a man called Abraham. He came down from the Chaldeans and he dwelt in the city of Ur. And he was just a man, a good man. Perhaps maybe he might have, his father perhaps worshipped idols. And Samuel says, Abraham himself was an idol worshiper. And he was just an ordinary man. And Abraham one day when he was perhaps out in the field hunting or whatever he was doing, picking berries, he met God. And from that time, he was changed. He could call things that was not as though they were because he had met God. He knew the minute and the hour that he met God. It changed him. Amen. You see what the covenant we are talking about. So as we go into this lesson, we will see the results of the covenant through the life of Abraham. There are stages. Amen. There are stages in the life, in God's dealing with Abraham under this unconditional covenant. Of course, God didn't save Abraham because of his works. But as a result of the covenant, Abraham had to do things to show that he loves God. Amen. Under the covenant, don't say that you are under the covenants without you showing that you are keeping your portion of the covenant. Amen. Abraham had to show at some stage that he has been changed. In his body, something had to happen. He had to go through some hardship, some suffering to show that God, can you just imagine a 90, I don't know, plus years old man getting circumcised? How painful it is. What a painful experience Abraham had to go, but it was a part of the covenant. It was not making, you know, it was not because of that he got saved, but inside the covenant, there are requirements that you need to meet. Amen? So don't just go as it was put, a few questions I received last time. No, people may just misunderstand it and go and say, oh, unconditional covenant, so I can do anything I want. Amen. There are ways to present it, because depending on how mature your audience is, you can say things and knowing that my audience won't misunderstand it. Amen. When they are babies, you can't go and tell them some things. They will go out there and say, oh, we are free to sin. Amen. So you just need to understand to keep the balance. There are times when we present the gospel as if you were all sinners here. And we blast you as if we were all sinners. You go out there, today that God was on me. There are times when you have to present the gospel as if you have not seen ever. You have never seen in your life. So, to keep that balance, you need to understand your audience. Amen. Our relationship with our Father is an unconditional relationship. Let me put it to this level, to this human level. Your relationship with your Father is an unconditional relationship. You are his son, his daughter, no matter what. Amen. You are his son. He will remain your Father forever. No matter what you do. No matter even if you kill him, you shoot him, you bury him. They say that sons killed his father. Even if you go to the registrar office, he say, pull the records. Remove him from all the records of the country. He's not my child anymore. That son will go out of the court and say, my dad has denied me. He said, my dad has rejected me. You can't change it. That's at a human level. Put it now between your relationship, you and God. Amen. It's unconditional. You are a child of God. My son will today go and burn my car. I'll get mad. I'll hit him. After that, he'll say, my dad hit me. And I say, my son burnt my car. It doesn't change. There is no condition on that. Amen? So we need to keep the balance. We present it this way, but another day will come and say, you are a sinner. You can't do things like that. I don't know even if you are saved. You know, it's a way God keeps it. God wants to rebuke his children. He will chastise you. He will say things. Sometimes you may think, my dad doesn't love me. But it's just out of love. It's part of the covenant. Amen? So let's keep that balance. I wanted really to bring it to your attention so that when we say things, put them in that context. Keep them in the context. Don't try to isolate quotations and statements and try to think that because of this, I can do this, or Brother Eli said this or that. No. We are Christians. We have standards. And there are, you know, standards that we can't go under. We can't go below. You are expected to live a Christian life. No matter, you are under the unconditional covenant, but we can judge by the type of life you reflect if you have entered the covenant or not. And if you are not under the covenant, whatever you do, God counts it against you. Amen. So we have seen last time that God saved Abraham. We have just a few minutes left. Salvation is fully by grace. The prophet says. Now I want you to notice that that is the beginning of Christianity. I want you to notice it wasn't because Abraham was a good man. It was because God elected and chose him. As it was then, so it is today. It isn't because my mom is saved that I'm saved. It's because God chose me. Not you choosing yourself, not your choice, not how much you prayed when you turned the new page, you had nothing to do with it. You had no way at all to turning to God. Your whole nature, your whole makeup was against God. God called you. Amen. Look at that nature of a sinner hiding like in Eden when man sinned. But it should have been Adam calling God. It was Adam hiding and God calling Adam. That's what salvation is. You running away from God and God calling you. That's what salvation is. You say sometimes, well, bless God, I was seeking God. The prophet says, you never sought God. You never did seek God. Men never did seek God. There's no such a thing as man seeking God. Did you know that? It's God-seeking man. He says, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. Amen. Your whole nature is altogether against God. And it has to take the Holy Spirit to first put that desire in there for you to linger after God. So when you say, I was seeking God, it's actually God that put that desire in you to seek him. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and anoints you, and you feel now that I'm thirsty of God. It's the deep calling to the deep. If there's no the deep of God in you at the first place to seek for God, you will never seek God. Amen. So, he says, all that come to me, I'll give them everlasting life. Amen. So let's make some parallelism between us and Abraham. So you'll understand. We want to go really, really slowly on this. Because if you don't catch this truth about salvation, the devil will come and start playing with you sometimes. You have to know the grounds where you are standing. Your ups and downs doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. You are saved. Because when you don't understand that, the devil will come and start now showing you your ups and downs. And doubting, creating doubt on your salvation. And doubt brings what? Discouragement. And discouragement brings what? Backsliding. The devil will try to play around that. But when you know that I am a child of God, amen, I am saved, God is my Father, even if, take it, with good care, even if yesterday I went and drank some beer, don't go and drink, please. Eh? But even if I went, even if my child sitting there, he went and I caught him drinking some beer. I'll rebuke him. I'll chastise him. But he remains my child. Amen. I catch him doing something wrong there. I'll bring him home. I'll give him a good whip. He remains my child. So don't let the devil make you to think because you did something wrong, then you are not saved. No, you are saved, my brother. You are saved, my sister. That's why we want to emphasize on these things. To make you to be, sure of your salvation. Go out there and say, I am a child of God. My weaknesses is just a work in progress. Amen. I'm still a work in progress. I'm not a finished work yet. So anything you can point to me as my weaknesses, you are right. But it's only because I am a work in progress. Yes. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 2 from verse 1. And you, as he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. We are talking now about the process of our salvation. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. This is what you and me were. We were children of wrath, children of disobedience. We were walking according to the lust of this world. Among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Amen. This is Abraham before God called him. Amen. This is exactly Abraham before God called him. The prophet said he was living there in Babylon among idol worshippers. He was living like just like anyone else in the land where he was living. As Paul says here, among whom we were.
We are children of wrath, living according to the desire and the passions of our flesh, exactly as our father Abraham. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Amen. This is where your salvation started. You were a sinner, but God, who is in mercy, loved you. God said, so amongst all the people that were living in that country of Ur in Babylon, worshipping idols, he loved Abraham. Not because of something special. God loved you. Full stop. He said, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are we saved. Amen. He took us in Babylon. He quickened us. He said, Abraham, come out of your people. Abraham, I love you. I will make you. That's exactly what God... Just imagine your friends. You were going together along in the bistros. You were along together in nightclubs. What made you to leave that environment, to leave that world, and become what you have become today? Was it because you were dancing different in a nightclub? No. You say, oh, you know, when we were going to the nightclub, them, they were dancing. Me, I was like this. That's why God saved me. No. Oh, because I was sinning just a little bit. They were sinning more. No, sin is sin. God, who is rich in mercy. That's the basis, that's the foundation of our salvation. God's mercy. Abraham, I love you. Abraham, I call you. Amen. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Abraham, leave your land and go to a place I will show you. He took us from amongst them and made us to sit in heavenly places. Where Abraham could see angels. Amen. He took Abraham in heavenly places where he could have now fellowship with angelic beings. Amen. As a child of Abraham, God took you from amongst them and made you to sit in heavenly places where you have now a different experience, where you can fellowship with angelic beings, where you can enter into a dimension where things don't mean the same anymore for you. Amen. Children of Abraham, do you understand the process of your salvation? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen. God told Abraham, one individual, come out, go. I will bless you, not only you, but your descendants as well. You being under the same covenant, God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your family. Amen. You and your descendants, you are under the same covenant. Come out of your people, you'll receive salvation, but that portion will be shared for you and for your family. Amen. We are under that unconditional covenant. Amen. So I just want to close here, but to prepare for our next lesson, just want to make a quick recall of what we said last time. God's first condition with human beings was unconditional. When God created Adam, He didn't put any condition. He said, dominate, create, do this, name this. No. It's when God separated man and woman that he puts a condition. Say, you won't eat that. The day you eat, you will die. You remember that? And from the first time God put a condition in a covenant, men fell. And all the, you know, experiences God had with man afterward, God was trying to put a condition. Man was always failing. Noah, God made a covenant. Noah fell. Any time God tried to put a condition, man was constantly falling. That's why God said, I will treat now with Abraham in a different way. I won't put a condition. Abraham, you will become. I will bless you. I will do. And Abraham being under that unconditional covenant, not only him, but even the patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. That's why you could see Jacob getting away with all his lies. Amen. Jacob worshipped idols at a certain stage. But God didn't count that because the covenant was unconditional. That's why you see Joseph, the perfect man. When his family joins Egypt, he told them to lie. Tell them, don't tell them you are shepherd. Tell them you are this and that. It was under that covenant. But later on you will see, that will be next lesson, that at a certain stage, the children of Israel, instead of, you know, keeping that revelation that we are under that unconditional covenant, God brings them to the Mount Sinai. God gives them laws. They would have said, no, we are under an unconditional covenant. Why are you putting laws again? No, they said, yes, we will obey to all the requirements. We will keep all the prescriptions that Moses has. They sang, but before long, they were worshiping another idol. Amen. So we'll see that next time. But from now, let's keep what we have learned. We are saved by grace. We are under that unconditional covenant, but there's fruit of repentance. If you are under the covenant, you will see, it will be shown by the type of life you manifest. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for what you have provided for us this morning. We believe, O Lord, that you will give us spiritual understanding. You will give your children the type of listening they need to have in this time, so that these things will be a blessing to them. It will equip them in their spiritual walk to face all the challenges out there. Because our enemy use offensive and defensive weapons against us. Sometimes he uses our own mind against us. But if we are equipped with these defensive weapons, we know how to counterattack him. And we know how to live in an overcoming life. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We commit now the rest of the service into your hands. Bless us and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Before I go, I just wanted to make an announcement.